Build relationships through marketing. What?
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Dupree, scouring the globe to bring you stories of courage, passion, and resilience. If I could sum up this podcast into one word, I would use empathy. Now let's get inspired.
Hello and welcome to the 93rd episode of the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I am your host once again, Brett Dupree. Today you're going to learn a lot about networking. Networking is important if you want to succeed in life. So stay tuned to learn about networking. But first I talk about what's going on in my life. Because if I cannot be vulnerable, how can I expect my guests to be? This is fun, folks, and kind of sad at the same time. Fun because I am now recording on SoundForge Audio 13, which is a year behind the update because Humble Bumble, for just $25. I updated all my editing software. And it's sad because I have decided that the Joyous Expansion podcast is going to come to a close. I have a bunch of interviews in the pipe, as I like to say. We'll have 108 to 110. Depending on what I decide to do. I think I'm going to do a bonus episode probably this weekend on being a podcast guest because it's just something I want to talk about because now I've interviewed over 100 people. And there's certain things that I think make a good guess and certain things that people need to improve on. And then I'll probably do a wrap-up episode at the end. But it's not sad in a sense because I feel like I've accomplished what I want to accomplish with this podcast. I started it 2 years ago, and I wanted it to be big and huge, and I had all these dreams. And none of those dreams came true. And then I changed it to be a exercise to prove that I can be consistent with something that I want to accomplish. In that sense, I've done a pretty good job. In fact, during this pandemic where I've been feeling just a lot of stress and life in general about the world and everything, I think I did a pretty good job in that. And we're able to, I missed a week in there, and that's not that big a deal. Because I didn't say that I was going to be perfect, but for the most part, I think most I've missed is 1.5 weeks once. And yeah, so I'm pretty proud of that. I enjoy what I accomplished. I mean, part of it is moving in with my fiance. I don't know what kind of setup I'm going to have. If I'm going to be in a situation, plus saving money, I'm spending like $100 to $120 on this podcast a month, not seeing any return. At the same time, why continue? And also, something I generally don't talk about is part of this podcast was a bit of self-discovery as well, as I try to think of what I want to be when I grow up. I've been wanting to be a life coach for a while, and the thing I recognized in myself in the last probably like 4 or 5 years ago is that I never really wanted to be a life coach. My friend suggested it. And so I looked into it and thought that sounded super awesome as a way to help people. But then I determined I'm not so much of a one-on-one person. The Lightworker Toastmasters really put that into focus for me as I felt I served the Lightworker Toastmasters more as a leader and as a group facilitator, but not as a one-on-one helping somebody individually. I mean, I can answer questions, I'm willing to help people when they ask, but to be the type of person that someone feels like they can go to for one-on-one work, that's not my expertise and that's not where my passion lies. My group life lies more in facilitation, and so I want to be more into workshops and things of that nature. And be a workshop facilitator or a group facilitator because that's what energizes me. That's what's super fun. When I think of what I love about the Lightworker Toastmasters more, it's the getting in front of everyone and building something and helping people and watching people grow. And less on one-on-one work. Not that I can say that the life coaching that I've learned hasn't helped me in my life. I've gotten a lot of skills, especially when it comes to listening and being present with people. And honestly, just for that, if there are reasonably priced life coaching classes to take, I would highly suggest it. The ability to listen to someone, to truly listen to someone, is a gift. And I mean truly listen. Most of us do not. And before I took life coaching classes, I didn't listen. I was a terrible listener, just like we all are. And part of it was learning the one of the seven habits of highly effective people is to try to understand before being understood. And that's what active listening is, this ability to truly listen and absorb what the person is saying. And that is such a gift. I feel like I'm really in a conversation that's not at a workshop where I share with somebody and the person on the other end isn't thinking about what they want to say. You can almost see the wheels spin in their head as they're thinking about what they are going to say. And what life coaching classes do is allow you to learn how to listen, to receive, to piece together what the person is saying, and then ask powerful questions. And not saying that I do that all the time and I don't also get into conversations where I can't wait to share after listening to a person share. But now I do have that skill set of being able to listen. I mean, I think that's a lot about life, is going for something and then thinking on, is that thing not right for me? Because I don't feel it's a waste. I think that's a valuable, valuable skill. One that I'm very proud of, and all the people I've met and all the things I've done, I'm truly proud of and I love. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But I also notice when I would sell myself as a life coach, I never truly believed I was a life coach. But man, I truly believe I could sell myself as a speaker and a workshop facilitator because I love doing that. I love workshops. I love that feeling of getting around a lot of people and just feeling the energy of the audience. That's just where my juice is. And I learned that about myself. And part of this podcast was to allow myself to stay with my toe dipped into this space of personal growth, personal development, while I really figure out who I am. You know what's funny is I say this a lot, but honestly, I always thought I would figure it out sooner. But what I learned is life is a constant, constant learning about who you are because you're always changing. The only constant in life is change. And the more you learn about yourself, the more you grow. So I just want to say is follow your dreams. I mean, there's going to be a bunch more episodes still. This is episode 94, so like 14, 15 or 16, depending on how many bonus non-interview episodes I do. And thank you for being on this ride. I truly enjoy the Joyous Expansion podcast. And I plan on in the future doing another podcast where I interview people because honestly, I love doing this too. This is fun. I don't like editing as much. If I can get to the point where I got to pay someone to edit, that would be the dream. Pay someone to do all the other stuff. But if I can just record and build my podcast and have someone do editing and stuff, that would be the dream. If I can get to that point. But this part where I interview people is super fun. I love it. I love meeting people. And I would suggest it. So yeah. I interview Frank again, who is a person who helps people network, and he has a lot of great networking tips that he has a lot of passion in, and I look forward to you hearing him. So let me introduce Frank. Frank, again, is the founder and president of AmSpirit Business Connections, where he works to empower entrepreneurs, sales representatives, and professionals around the country to become more successful through networking. In addition, he is a sought-after speaker and consultant to companies and organizations on topics related to professional networking and business relationship development. Frank has written numerous articles, he's the author of several books, and he has his own daily micro podcast called Networking RX Minute. He has a law degree and MBA from Ohio State and a BA in economics and management from Beloit College. Now here is my interview with Frank again. Hello, Frank, and welcome to my podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Can you give the listeners a brief introduction to who you are?
Yeah, my name is Frank Agin. I run an organization called AmSpirit Business Connections. We help entrepreneurs, sales reps, and professionals become better connected and get more referrals through a program, a membership-based program that they would get involved with.
Were you always an entrepreneur?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur for the last 25 years, I guess. But, you know, I tell people my first job was selling night crawlers at my home in upstate Michigan. My first job, I got a law degree and an MBA. My first job out of school was with a large accounting firm. And I was with them for 5 or 6 years, but just there was always a calling to kind of do my own thing. And so that's the one and only real job I've ever had.
Growing up, were you always a little bit of a rebel?
I don't know about a rebel, but creative, wanted to do my own things.
So when you first started your business, did you go through any struggles?
Yeah, there's always struggles. Really, how I got going in my business is I worked in that large accounting firm as a tax consultant, and I wasn't enjoying it. So I left to go into private practice because I figured that would be the next step for me. And yeah, I struggled. I had no idea how to get clients. I was that bad actor that went to chamber events and networking events, just handing my card out to anybody, hoping I could find clients. And interestingly enough, that led me to the organization I now own. I was just looking for a way to get business, and I joined the organization and then ultimately bought it. But I, you know, like a lot of entrepreneurs, I struggled on the beginning just trying to find clients. They were there. I just didn't know how to find them.
Yeah, finding clients can be quite difficult. Plus, you have to put yourself out there as well. Were you more introvertive or extroverted type person?
I think I'm more introverted. I don't have a problem being alone. I don't always have to have people around me, but I'm not fearful of getting out and talking to people. You know, obviously I did it. I do it every day. I'm an ambivert, I guess, an omnivert, a little of both.
So how did your organization that you joined change your ability to get clients?
When I visited the first time and they explained the concept to me, it immediately made sense in that I could lift my world up. I could become successful by helping other people become successful. And if you think about it, I could talk about you all day long. I could promote you. I could tell people what a great person you are, all the wonderful things you do. And at the end of the day, I would feel really good about myself because I've been doing things for you. But to self-promote myself becomes exhausting quickly. And I really think, you know, just my own opinion, I think it's just because when we self-promote, there's a real risk of being rejected. People want to challenge me on what I think about you. Well, that's just my opinion against their opinion. But when they want to challenge me about me, I really don't, you know, I don't really have any support. Okay, that's what you think about me. Of course, I think great things about myself. It did change my world because I realized that the key to success was helping other people become successful.
There is a lot of power in service to others, that is for sure. What made you want to get to the point where you actually bought the company?
I got involved. It was working great for me. How it all came about is it was based out of Pittsburgh. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. I had an opportunity to serve on an advisory board for the organization, and that allowed me to have several conversations, lots of conversations with the owner. One day I was having a conversation with the owner, and I don't even really remember what it was about, but we were having a conversation and she took a call. I didn't know who was on the call at the time, but she just put me on hold real quick. And she got back on the phone and she let me know that the person who was running the Columbus area, who was an independent contractor for her, had called in and quit. So I was literally on the call when this all happened. I asked her what she was going to be doing. And at that point, she indicated that she was getting up there in age. She was closing in on 60 years old and didn't want to be traveling back and forth from Pittsburgh to Columbus. It's about three and a half hours. And she revealed that she really wanted to franchise the business. And she shared with me what that would entail, just kind of talking. The type of law that I practice was I help people buy and sell businesses, you know, as an attorney. So as she's talking and kind of going through numbers, I'm working a calculator. I'm telling her, I'm asking questions and got a lot of information. And at the end of that, I'm telling her, hey, listen, I want to be your first franchisee. I like practicing law, but this is something really unique. And this is something that I don't know where it's going to lead me. Practicing law, I knew exactly where I was headed. And it's not a bad world. It's not a bad existence, but there wasn't the entrepreneurial excitement. There are hundreds of attorneys that leave law school every day, and many are going into private practice. So it's not anything that's terribly unique. This was something that was unique. I became her first franchisee, and the territory we had that I took over was kind of a meh territory for her. It wasn't great. I immediately hit the ground running. I had an investment. The guy before me was just kind of an independent contractor. I had an investment and I really started to grow it. Within a year, we were her number one territory. And within 3 years, we were larger than 50% of her operations. At that point, she had, you know, she was moving up in age and was looking to downsize or divest. And essentially, I bought it out.
This is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It says on your website that you're a sought-after speaker. Were you always this type of person who liked getting in front of the crowds and speaking?
I had done it as an attorney. I'd done a lot of work with not-for-profits. It's kind of a specialized area to talk about 501c3 organizations or 501c6s, which are trade associations. And, you know, so there was not many people get into that. So there were certainly opportunities to talk about that. And I enjoyed it. But when I took over, you know, when I became this franchisee of this organization and then ultimately bought it, you know, initially I bought it as really an investment. It's just, you know, hey, this is something that's different and I can do something with. I quickly realized that there was a lot of things I needed to learn. You know, networking is one of these things where, yeah, everybody can say they can talk about networking and they certainly can, but there's a lot of science to it. There's a lot of other information. And so I just started accumulating information, writing articles. People would ask me to come out and speak. Networking is something that people a lot of times struggle with. And so that just kind of opened the door for me to get out there and talk to people.
What's the science behind networking?
All networking is our professional relationships or our just relationships. There's lots of research that's going on out there with respect to relationships. So I'll give you an example. They did this study over in Poland and they had a young woman on the street. She was part of the research team. And what she was tasked with doing is she was going to approach 100 other women who happened to be by themselves. That was part of the control. And half those women she would walk up to and say, "Would you buy a candle from me?" That's all she would say. The other half the women she would go up to, and this is all done at random. The other half the women she would go up to and she would say, "How's your day?" And then the person would respond either, "Hey, I'm having a great day," or "not a great day," something, words to those effect. Depending upon what the person would respond, the young researcher would say, "Well, I'm glad you're having a great day," or "I'm sorry you're having a bad day." And then follow that with, "Would you buy a candle from me?" Now, that's the shortest small talk conversation you possibly can have, right? "How is your day? I'm doing well. Glad to hear it. Would you do business with me?" What they found is that in the control group where she just said, "Hey, would you buy a candle from me?" 3 out of 50 people bought candles. In the experimental group where the pitch, "Buy a candle from me," was prefaced with just a quick little "how's your day" exchange, 11 candles were sold. So almost a fourfold increase, you know. And so what that did was demonstrate the power of small talk and how small talk can be useful in building relationships. And the one thing I want to point out is that with respect to relationships, we only have one brain. So when people talk about personal relationships and professional relationships, there really is no distinction. The brain doesn't make a distinction. It doesn't have a special compartment for professional relationships. It just looks at relationships. So the things that are successful personally are also successful professionally. And so what the research went on to explain is that what was happening in the brain is that our brains do lots of things. But one of the things our brains do is it goes through this exercise. It's called heuristic processing. And all that means is the brain's always looking for ways to develop shortcuts. It looks for patterns. And one of the patterns it looks for is when you come across somebody who is nice to you, "Hey, how's your day?" Your ability to trust them just happens that much quicker, as opposed to somebody who's just jumping in and saying, "Hey, would you buy something for me?" So that's one of many, many, many studies that are out there about with respect to relationships and how to get them to work. You know, I learn these things, I read these things, and then can share them with entrepreneurs. In my world, it's not just enough to explain, "Hey, do these things." I want to be able to explain to people why they're working, what's going on. And that just makes it that much more effective.
That makes sense. I think it's we more want to buy from a friend than buy from someone who's just trying to sell us something.
Absolutely. That's it. Yep.
Yeah, no one likes the feeling of being taken advantage of.
Yeah. We like to buy. Everybody likes to buy. You know, pick up a catalog or get online, get on Amazon or whatever and search around. We love to buy. We don't like to be sold. And that's the difference.
What was it like learning this? Is this something that kind of blew your mind, or is this something that you kind of fought early on, or what was the process like?
With respect to small talk, I mean, I always had a sense that it worked. You didn't really know why. I knew with my legal clients that there were clients out there that I had great relationships with, and I just felt comfortable around them. And I never really kind of pinned it to small talk, but in looking back, we kind of stumbled into the things that work. You know, and it's really no different than a dog, let's say. You know, a dog knows that, hey, if I go to the bathroom outside, I get a different result than if I go inside. Same thing with humans. We know that there are certain behaviors that we undertake that have a different result than others, and we may not necessarily exactly know what they are, but our brain kind of leads us in those directions. You know, I guess to answer your question, it's, you know, it's kind of exciting when you know, okay, this is why this works. I don't want to tell people to use it as a manipulation, but I just want them to understand that when they're talking with people, these people are people and they want to be cared about. They want to know that you care and are really interested in them. I would never say just engage in small talk with somebody as a means to an end. Engage in small talk because it's the right thing to do. And it's great to care about people. And when you care about people, they're hardwired to care about you in return.
So if someone is concerned about not wanting to sound manipulative, and how does one go about networking in a way that doesn't feel like you're manipulating?
It's a matter of just being genuine. When I have conversations with people, I always tell people, don't start with business. When business ultimately comes up, really have it be about them, learning about them, having them educate you about what they're doing. Ultimately, they'll be interested in what you have. But if you make it about them, in time, they develop comfort. That heuristic processing starts to kick in. And then they want to buy from you, or they want to help you somehow. Maybe it's buying or referring you or whatever it might be. So you always kind of start with the personal thing. I'll give you an example. I had a conversation. I was at an event here in Columbus. It was in the winter. It had snowed really bad overnight. Got to the event, and I had said to a young woman, and just had come up to, and we just started a conversation. I said, oh my gosh, can you believe all this snow? Which is kind of a lame way of kicking off a conversation, but it just kind of came out. And she said, oh, I love this snow. I'm a skier. I'm a big time skier. My husband and I ski. We love the snow because it just makes for better skiing. So that allowed me to kind of go off on that. Well, where do you ski? How long have you been skiing? You know, is this something just on and on and on about skiing? And we had a nice conversation about skiing. And then I kind of moved it over to business. Subtly, I just said, you know, skiing's an expensive sport. What do you do to pay for it? Of course, then that allowed her to kind of launch into her business. And I had a whole other series of questions with respect to her business. Again, just letting her talk. In closing the conversation, which only lasted 15, 20 minutes, I just said, you know, listen, I assume you're going skiing this weekend with all this snow. But if you don't get hurt between now and then, I would love to have coffee with you, or maybe we can grab lunch and just have a more in-depth conversation about business, which is kind of a slow and choose, totally comfortable having a conversation and getting together at that point.
So if someone wanted to up their networking game, how would they do that through you?
Through AmSpirit, they would certainly need to get into a chapter. We don't have chapters everywhere. We're looking to grow chapters across the country. I have a series of franchisees in cities around the country. So if somebody were interested in that, they could certainly reach out to me, and I would gladly have a conversation about either starting a chapter or finding franchisee or an organizer to help trying to get chapters started in their area. That's how they'd get started with AmSpirit Business Connections.
Do you not work with people one-on-one?
I do from time to time. There are other people out there who do a lot more of it, but I have had people that I've worked with and coached with. If you're an entrepreneur, sales rep, or professional, there are organizations. There's AmSpirit. There are other organizations that are very cost effective to be involved with. A lot of the people I end up working with one-on-one are people who are, they're in business that, you know, they might be a coach or some sort of consultant where the sales cycle is longer and there's a different nuance to how to get them network and the types of things that they should be doing. So I'm certainly happy to work with those people as well.
So in your years at AmSpirit, what transformations have you seen through people who've gone through your program?
Oh, wow. There was a guy who got involved when I first got involved. He had just left. In fact, I knew him. He worked in the firm I was at. I was an attorney. I had a law degree, so I was heading down that path. But he was a CPA. He was an accountant. And he left and was starting his own accounting practice and really had no clients. And he got involved. And within a couple years, he had so many clients that he had to take on employees and a partner. And then ultimately, that partner bought him out. So that's one example. The other example, I have an insurance agent who got involved with this about the time I first got involved with it back in the mid-90s. This year, he retired. He was a State Farm agent. He retired. And his daughter was taking over the agency. And she's taking on his membership. So that membership may ultimately last 50 years by the time it's all said and done.
Cool. That sounds like some great transformations. So we're coming to the end of our time together. One thing I like to ask my guests is do a 1 minute of motivation. You can imagine this as if you have a time machine and you're going back to your 8-year-old self and you want to convey everything you need to live a happy, joy-filled life. But unfortunately, you only have a minute until you're plopped back into the future. Or you can think of it as taking your entire life's message and condensing it down to a minute.
Well, I think the message to my 8-year-old self would be this. Listen, don't worry so much about school. Don't worry so much about the classes you take. Don't worry so much about appearances. Worry about the relationships. Have good relationships. Reach out to other people. Be a good person. All those things will come back to you. Getting straight A's, getting 100s on your spelling bee. Those are all nice things, but it's really the relationships that matter.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast. It was very interesting listening to how networking has transformed your life into a different way and to live through service and turning the idea of networking and not going out and giving out cards, but actually being truly interested, authentic, and genuine with talking to the person so that if you help them out, then that would also grow your business as well. And also creating these chapters that help other people be able to transform and change their businesses. So thank you so much for being on my podcast and thank you for what you do in this world.
Thank you.
Mayor Davey special.
And there you have it, folks. That was my interview with Frank again. I appreciate his relationship built networking style. One thing I've learned in my life is even just being a customer, I like buying from people who act like they like me, act like they know me, people who have relationships with. Those are the people you go back to at restaurants. You go where people seem to like you. I always enjoyed my bar, Pub 85. They were always super nice to me, gave me my own seat, so I always went there. I don't like being sold to. I hate being sold to. And I like when people are personal about me. I notice this a lot in networking. People are able to listen. As I was talking about at the beginning, active listening. So life coaching skills right there, an active listening. Rather than going out and telling people what you can do for them, getting them to tell you what they do, and then figure out from what they say how you can serve them. And that's what networking is learning how to serve others by active listening. Active listening is an amazing skill. It's almost like I plan this one. I don't. I generally just riff at the beginning to what comes to my mind. But when I start talking about active listening and what from life coaching and seeking to understand and be understood, that is directly what it takes to be a good network marketer, truly listening people, truly understanding what they do, and then understanding how you could help them, who you can connect them with, and then they want to help you back. It's a weird trick. I learned it from Benjamin Franklin, is that if you let somebody help you, ask for a favor, they like you more. It's a weird hack. I forgot the story exactly, but there's somebody who really didn't like him that was famous. And in the newspaper article, he talked to that guy and said he had an amazing library and he has this book that he really wants and he would really appreciate it. And then the guy gave him the book, let him borrow it because he was shocked. And then afterwards, they became friends, even though he didn't like him. It's a bad telling of the story. But allowing people to help you makes them like you more. So trying to make it reciprocal. You help them and then allow them to help you. And you can create a networking friendship. So if you want to know more about Frank again, you can go to his website, frankagin.com. You can check out his podcast, Networking RX Minute. and learn more about AM Spirit Business Connection. Of course, you can always email him at frankagain@amspirit.com. And there you have it, folks. That is the 94th episode of the Joyous Expansion Podcast. Thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, share. Even if this is ending, it would be nice if more people listen to it, you know? I mean, it's not going to disappear. It's still going to be there. So leave a review. I still like my ego boost. Email me for any reason at BRE2Ts, DUPR to E's at joyousexpansion.com. Check out joyousexpansion.com, soon BrettDupree.com as well. More episodes of pod.joyousexpansion.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram at Joyous Expansion, and you can find me on Facebook at Increase Your Joy because my SEO game is terrible. Once again, I am Brett Dupree, your champion of authentic joy, catalyst of transformation for the Church of Awesome, and Joyous Expansion Life Coach, reminding you once again to be love, to be joy, to be awesome. Now play that jingle.
JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Come and say hello to Brett Dupree. He is an inspirational life coach. Good for you and good for me. He turned my life from gray to blue. I'm sure he'll do the same for you. Get in touch and you'll see your life will change dramatically. JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com.